TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
I always enjoy bringing you the latest. This is The Scoop.
It's The Scoop with Darren Dookie Wolfson from 5 Eyewitness News.
Black Friday will soon turn into Championship Saturday. TGIF Scoop Podcast faithful, this is Scoop Podcast episode 269 right here on Score North on 1500 AM on this Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hopefully you were able to spend some time with loved ones. Much like the night before the Penn State game, the week of the Penn State game, I'm not quite sure we can overanalyze, overhype, overdo the game at TCF Bank Stadium tomorrow. Gophers and Badgers, Big Ten West championship implications. Heck, when you think about the Gophers, certainly national championship, national playoff implications, Rose Bowl implications. I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion that if the Gophers win on Saturday that they end up in Pasadena, but certainly if they beat the Badgers, not all, but a lot of signs will point to them landing in Pasadena, even if they lose to Ohio State the next week in the Big Ten championship game. So no surprise, for the next 45 to 55 minutes, we will shed all sorts of light on the Gophers and Badgers game. I'll mix in some Wolves and some Twins notes as well. But yeah, a majority of this episode will be focused on the Gophers. We'll hear from PJ Flex agent Brian Harlan. As far as I can tell, these will be his first public comments about Flex's recently signed contract extension, recently approved by the Board of Regents. We'll catch up with Mitch Leidner, former Gophers quarterback. He cuts open a vein on all the scrutiny that he faced in his 3 years taking a majority of the snaps as Gophers quarterback, 2014, 2015, and 2016. And we'll begin with David Cobb. Think about how special his season was in 2014, ran for a school record 1,626 yards, was a fifth round pick in the 2015 draft of the Tennessee Titans, bounced around a few different NFL stops. He now resides in Texas. He's still training, hoping to keep his professional football hopes alive. He tracks the Gophers closely. He was here for the Nebraska game. He watched intently during the Penn State game. So David Cobb still pays very, very close attention. Heck, you think about it, in 2014, he was teammates with Rodney Smith, so Rodney is one of his guys, so he follows Rodney very closely, follows the Gophers very closely. So let's catch up now with David Cobb. David, I appreciate you doing this. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I guess just as a proud alum, what are your emotions? What are you feeling heading into kickoff tomorrow?
Oh, man, I definitely, again, like you said, as a proud alum, I think that's exactly how you say it, because, you know, my last year, we actually were kind of in the same situation.
If I know.
Wisconsin,
yeah,
we get to play in the Big Ten championship. So, I mean, that one, that's probably a taste that won't go away. But it'll definitely, you know, soften the blow a little bit. If we can go out here and we can beat Wisconsin and get a chance to play in the Big Ten championship.
You know what? On that game 5 years ago, correct me if I'm wrong, you had a long touchdown run. You guys were up in the second quarter 17-3. What happened thereafter for Wisconsin to end up winning that game by 10 points, 34-24?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not sure, man. I think going into the game, we were so confident, and I think it showed how we came out and played. But, I mean, they were a great team as well. And, you know, we went in at the half, and you know, they came out and they played better than us. You know, they kind of played for four quarters and we kind of played in spurts. So they ended up pulling away. They made a couple of big plays and we weren't able to get the same efficiency going in the second half on offense. So they eventually pulled away from us. And it's just one of those things that I hope those guys remember as well. You know, you just play four quarters no matter if you get up, you stay locked in, because in a game like that with that magnitude, both teams playing, you know, it's going to have a lot of swings.
Was it Melvin Gordon? I mean, Melvin is now a phenomenal NFL running back. Was it Melvin Gordon who had that successful second half? Was he a big reason why the Badgers beat you guys that day?
I'm pretty sure he was a big reason why they won a lot of games that year. So, I definitely think you can put that along the list. But, they had a great offensive line, as we always know. And, you know, Melvin, of course, he was a great running back. And, you know, they posed a lot of great challenges for us. And, again, their defense, they really stiffened up. And uh, we, I'm not sure if we got conservative or not, or we just couldn't execute as well as we did in the first half, but it was a mix of a lot of things that, you know, turned out not in our favor.
You know what, as you look back, though, I mean, you know, 5 years later, as you look back at that 2014 season, I mean, from an individual standpoint, you know, setting the single season rushing record, you know, you having all the success you did, the program getting to its first, what, New Year's Day bowl game? You guys went to the Citrus Bowl, lost to Missouri, right, but still got there. That was the first New Year's Day bowl game for the Gophers in something like, what, 4 or 5 decades? As you look back, can you now appreciate, even though you lost that Wisconsin game and you badly wanted to play for the Big Ten Championship, as you look back at 2014, can you be proud of just so much?
Yeah, I definitely by far think that you kind of have to be proud of, you know, what we were able to accomplish and just all that they came in together, what it was and what we left it as. So, I mean, I think you definitely have to be proud of what you were able to get done. Of course, we wanted to win that big game, but at the end of the day, we definitely are proud of what we were able to accomplish while we were there.
We're talking with former Gophers running back David Cobb. Speaking of the 2014 team, Rodney Smith was your teammate then. Rodney, because of a couple medical red shirts, Rodney is still a Gopher to this day. All these years later, your former teammate Rodney Smith is now a Gopher to this day. I mean, do you guys still keep in touch? What's your relationship like with Rodney?
Yeah, Grandpa, man, he's still kicking, and I'm so happy for him and so proud of him, because I can remember him coming in as a freshman, and during camp, you know, the freshmen are down on the other end and they're practicing getting it in, and then we come in the field room, and you know, you don't spend too much time watching the freshman practice, but we would watch it, and just to watch his film as together as a unit. And you could see him, and me and Donnell Kirkwood, Kirkwood, I used to mess with him. He was like, man, he better than you. He's better than me. I was like, yeah, man, Rodney, he's nice. And you could tell when he was very young, he had good vision. He was very quick. So, and I talk to Rodney every now and then, but, you know, he's been there for 6 years, so he kind of got a grasp of things. But just tell him, man, don't look past anything and just enjoy it and don't worry about NFL or who's this and that. Just enjoy it. And I mean, he's done a great job, and you know, he's had a great career there, and I'm just so proud of him and just happy that he's healthy and getting to play the game for us last year.
I mean, I suppose a lot of attention, rightfully so, on Jonathan Taylor on the Wisconsin running game tomorrow, but I suppose the Gophers running game, you know, it's Rodney Smith and others, but Rodney specifically, I mean, that will go a long way, especially if it's going to be windy, weather looks like it's going to be some sort of factor, especially the wind. I mean, depending on, you know, how windy it is, but the passing game could be impacted by that. So you look at that Gophers running game, Rodney specifically, David, you know, I mean, that could go a long way in determining who wins this game tomorrow.
Right. And, when you speak of Wisconsin, the running game is always going to be a factor. It don't matter if it's 100 degrees or minus 100 degrees. So whenever you speak on Wisconsin, that running game is going to play a huge, huge factor in, you know, who wins. And for us, we just got to control that line of scrimmage, because I think we have the better skilled athletes out on the edge. And, you know, I think we can play with pretty much anybody. So for those guys to get that win, I definitely think that running game is going to have to go, and everything will go to that running game. As we know, we have those three monsters on the outside and receivers. So, I think Rodney will be up for the task, and I know he'll play well, and I know he's looking forward to it.
How cool is it, I mean, even beyond tomorrow and looking a little bit, you know, bigger picture, you know, this talk of maybe the Gophers ending up in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl, you know, you think about national playoff implications, you know, like every Tuesday for the last few weeks, the Gophers have been a heavy topic, you know, Reese Davis and those guys, Kirk Herbstreit, the Tuesday night, you know, rankings special, you know, like how cool is that the Gophers are in the national conversation?
It's amazing, man. It is amazing. And again, I mean, just not for them, just for as just Gopher fans and alumni and guys who played there who, you know, may have not been ranked number 8 or 10 in the country. But, man, it's amazing. It's amazing. And just to see those guys and just to know the opportunities that they'll have just, you know, from having the team success and those guys having dreams and aspirations and playing at the next level, like all of this helps all of that. So just seeing the guys out there enjoying it and being on College Game Day, and you know, that M becoming a more of a global thing and just not a, you know, up north thing, it's amazing.
What are your impressions of PJ Fleck? I mean, do you look at him and say, hey, the man can coach, the man can recruit, even if he does it in his own unique way. I mean, he's on record saying he's not for everybody, but clearly he knows what he's doing.
And I think that's the best way that he can explain it, because he's not for everybody. And I mean, there's no hiding it. If you're a former player and a new guy comes in and he changes things and he has all these fans and all this different energy, you don't like it because you don't know him. You don't know him. And I think a lot of people probably felt that way. But once you actually get a chance to meet Coach Fleck like I did, you have a different outlook on him, and you realize that that energy is him. Like, that is him. Like, that's how he is. And he can coach. There's no denying that. If you like him or not, he definitely can coach. And he's doing a great job. I mean, he takes care of the guys that played there. He shows respect to the guys that played there. And as an alumni, you know, that's all he can really ask for. Of course, the new coach comes in, he wants to do it his way, and his way has worked so far. So I mean, I'm happy for those, and I wish him the most success.
What are your plans for the game tomorrow?
Man, I wish I could be there, but since it's that cold, I won't be. So I'll probably sit back and, you know, we got a group chat. I'll probably watch it with my cousin, Damien, and some of the other guys. And, you know, we're enjoying. And we'll keep the act, and we'll go play in the Big Ten Championship.
And then will you be in Indianapolis maybe, if that's the case?
I will be in Indianapolis on the sideline after we beat Wisconsin.
I like it. And, yeah, your cousin is Chiefs linebacker Damian Wilson. So, I mean, a lot of you guys still keep in touch. I mean, clearly you have the family connection to Damian, but a lot of you guys, former Gophers, keep in touch?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And like I said, that's a family, man. We talk to the younger guys, older guys. That is a family. So after we do beat Wisconsin, it'll probably be more than me out there.
And you know what, David, before I let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about just what's going on in your life. I mean, are you still chasing the professional football dream?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I was actually out in Austin training and rehabbing from a hamstring injury. And, of course, you want to play as long as you can. But, you know, I'm actually interested. I have a lot of, you know, I love football. Football has made me a lot of people and gave me a lot of opportunity in my life. But, you know, I'm kind of interested in seeing, you know, kind of chasing those other passions that I have, is maybe far as coaching, or, you know, maybe coming back up to the Minnesota area and working with different type of teams and getting into the college NFL type coaching. So, I mean, so to answer your question, yes, I'm still playing and I'm still training and just trying to get healthy. But at the end of the day, you know, it comes to an end for everybody. And you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for just being able to do the things that I did. And, you know, I don't regret anything. So, yeah, I'm still playing, but I what happens will happen.
David Cobb, thank you so much for doing this, and hopefully we see you in Indianapolis.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Former Gophers running back David Cobb. In terms of bowl games, bowl representatives that will be at TCF Bank Stadium tomorrow, among them the Rose and the Orange. In terms of NFL teams that will scout tomorrow's game, the Vikings will have representation, plus the Gophers will be hosting dozens of recruits. So lots of luminaries will be at TCF Bank Stadium tomorrow, including, think about how cool it is to have Chris Fowler on play-by-play and Kirk Herbstreit analyzing the game. Let's now transition to a brief conversation my colleague on the TV side, my good friend Chris Long, had in Evanston last week with Brian Harlan, Kevin Harlan's brother. Brian Harlan represents a number of coaches, including PJ Fleck. So he negotiated the recently completed lengthy contract extension for PJ Fleck. Here is Brian Harlan talking to Chris Long about the Fleck contract extension.
What went into to making the extension for PJ happen?
He wanted to stay there long term, and he wants to make sure he puts down roots. And he took the Minnesota job 3 years ago with the intent of not going there and going somewhere else. He really wanted, if the school was committed and provided the resources to win consistently, he was willing to stay and commit as well. So it worked out fine. We've been talking about the contract since the summer, and it was a process that evolved throughout the fall. But he and his family, it was best for them to stay. And he's attached to the kids, he's attached to the community, he's attached to the administration, and he really has enjoyed the whole Minnesota experience.
I know sometimes outside influences can help. Was there some knocking on doors from outside?
Well, there were a lot of headhunters that were calling me as jobs were starting to open. The Florida State job was it just opened, and the people from that search had reached out to me. So there was going to be some activity, and Mark Coyle knew that, and PJ knew that, and we just decided the best thing to do is just get everything done right. I'll make sure that everyone knows he's committed.
I like working with him, somebody that's as intense and focused as he is.
No one really like him. I've been around a lot of people in my career, and he's so different. He's got so much energy, and you just kind of think, does he ever turn it off? And he never does. And he's got unique leadership and motivational skills that you don't see very often in any line of work, not just sports or football, but anything. But the way he inspires and leads kids and what he's done for these kids is unbelievable. And the one thing is, he's so good at those things that it sometimes supersedes his football acumen. Very, very good football coach, very good evaluator of players, very good game management. He's really a very good football coach, but because of how superfluous he is with everything else, it gets overshadowed.
I have to imagine you saw potential for success when your relationship with him started, but I mean, he seems to be on a track to really have a potential for a pretty special future.
He really does. Yeah, he's rare. I mean, you don't find many people like that. But the way he's wired, the way he can lead, and I mean, he could run a Fortune 500 company. I mean, he could do a lot of things outside of football and be very successful.
The way this works, I know we don't want to talk specifics about the contract, but I'll ask it overarching, which is the way college football works. You see 7-year extension, but if all goes well, I imagine those could happen more frequently than 7 years.
Yeah, it definitely could. I mean, he's always going to be a guy that's going to be marketable, but in some ways, it makes it incumbent upon the school to be committed to big time football. I mean, he went up there to do what he's doing now and be a top 10 program and have a chance to get the playoffs. That's why he's there. And as long as they're committed and put the resources in, he'll do it. And Minneapolis is a great college football town. I mean, it's a great pro sports town, but it's really one of the rare big cities that really embraces college football. I mean, you look at Chicago, you look at Boston, some of the places where I've had clients, it's not like Minneapolis. Minneapolis is a really good college football town.
PJ Flex agent Brian Harlan. As far as I can tell, that's the first time anybody has gone on the record saying that Florida State, the people in charge of the Florida State search, did reach out to him. Florida State did have genuine interest in PJ Flex, but everything was already far down the road in terms of the contract extension he signed. We appreciate Brian Harlan talking to us on the TV side. KSTP Channel 5. Briefly, I ran into Tyrone Carter earlier this week. He helps coach at Minneapolis North High School. I was at North practice, so I caught up with Tyrone for a few minutes. Here are a few thoughts from one of the greatest Gophers defensive players in program history, Tyrone Carter.
I got four groups that's playing in the championship game this week, and I'm excited for that. But Saturday, that's going to be the most excitement I've ever seen in my life, seeing my Gophers go up against Wisconsin. Now, we got the axe. You know that, right?
I'm aware.
Got it. So everybody talking all this stuff. Don't you know we got to defend it. They got to get it from us.
Yeah, but how about this, though? The Badgers are favored. Like, what is Vegas thinking?
Hey, we've been favored. We've been the 8-ball all year, right? We ain't been the favorite too many of those games with the top teams in the Big Ten, was we? Nobody never envisioned us being Penn State, did they? No, we got them. Then we came back and we lost that to Iowa. But I'm telling you, since the beginning of the season, we played some non-conference game. And we had some games that everybody wanted us to have, some big scoring games. They wasn't, but it was some close games. We learned something in that as a team. We built some character, and I like that. We lost the Iowa. Look what happened in this game. They just regrouped, came back, played good. Now it's Wisconsin. One game. You win this game, you're going to the Big Ten Championship.
Tyrone, not only the Big Ten Championship, there's some people that think if you win this game, you'll end up in Pasadena.
I don't even worry about Big Ten Championship. That's Pasadena, ain't it? So I just say one thing at a time. If I get to the Big Ten Championship game, guess what? It's up to me to go out there and work to come away with that victory, right?
You're right. I mean, you know what? You beat Ohio State, and guess what? You're probably one of the four playoff teams. Forget Pasadena.
Hey, man.
You're one of the four playoff teams.
See, that's y'all want to look ahead. We got Wisconsin coming here. So we got to take that one-game approach, come with our A game in Wisconsin, and let the chips fall where they lay after that game.
How about all your guys? I mean, I think about Tyler Johnson. I think about Rodney Smith, Antoine Winfield Jr. So many guys that you have close relationships with. It's senior day for a lot of those guys.
Man, it's senior day, but it also goes all the way back to battle tested. Each and one of those guys had to go through something with that program that they had to have an eye-opening experience and now get their mind back on what got them here, and that's being a student athlete, doing the classroom work and going out the football field and being that leader out there and leading our team to what we're trying to get to. They've been doing that thus far. That's why they say, man, for you to get something, you got to go through something. No pain, no gain. We went through some pain, but right now we gaining some right now. I love that. I love that.
You have ridden the roller coaster. I mean, you've been outspoken. You're on my podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Early on in the Fleck tenure era. Have you come around, though? I mean, do you feel like that Fleck and his assistants have taken this program to another level?
Well, without a doubt, man, you can't take away what they have, that staff has done thus far. They're 10 and 1 right now, right? Well, you could have a lot of said when a person come here before, right? All the talk going on. I don't like the talking unless I see the proof in the pudding. Well, the proof is in the pudding. They don't want 10 games, so you got to give him that credit. And for me, it just took a while for me to gravitate to what was going on. But once we did that, I'll tell you, me and him connected in summer. When I took our kids over there to the summer camp and I took my son over there, he clinged to my son, clinged to my kids that was over there. Right there, that touched volume with me. As a man that knows, me and him had some little heated battles. But then he put that away, and he cultivated my son and the guys that was over there. I respect him for that, and me and him been close ever since. We see each other everywhere that I've been going ever since that happened. And I'm just proud of him, man. I'm happy what he has brought to the University of Minnesota. That excitement, I told you, I loved that at the beginning. I loved the excitement because every player want an excited coach to be excited to go to practice. You don't want to just go through the practice. You want to be excited. And he don't give you that. You ain't finna have no dull moment with Coach Fleck. So that part I love, and now he doing everything he said. So you can't, only way you're going to hate that, you got to be a hater, and that ain't me. You know, I understand that what we had in the beginning, but what we have now is most important to me, because it ain't how you start, it's how you finish.
Let you go after this. One great DB on another. Antoine Winfield Jr., I mean, you know what great DB play entails. I mean, the greatest DB in Gophers history, right? Or at least one of, depending on how far we're going to go back. But your legacy speaks for itself. But when you watch Antoine Winfield Jr., just what stands out? One DB, great DB on another.
Well, he's a great DB. What I mean by that, he get interceptions. See, me, I was a hitter. And having him on that side, wow. You look at the tradition, what he done been through. And his daddy, his blueprint, you know, his pedigree is out. Standing. His dad wanted Jim Thorpe before me. The year before I won it, his daddy won it. Then it's me. But boy, to have him on that side right there, he helps us in the run game. He helps us in the passing game. And the most important thing that I like about is his leadership on that defense. That defense run when he out there on that football field. So that speaks volume for him. What he does outside of the football game, meaning his film study, his IQ of the game, man, is phenomenal. And that's what makes that kid great. And I'm loving that. I love that we got him on the other side. And if he don't get that Jim Thorpe Award, what the Jim Thorpe Award given to the best defensive back in the country? He only lead the nations in pick. That should tell you right there already. In big games, he shows up, too. And ain't talk about no little cupcake games. He been showing up in big games. Big-time players make big-time plays in big games. He a big-time player. You got to go on getting that.
The always entertaining Tyrone Carter. Before we get to Mitch Leidner, next segment, a couple notes on the Wolves. They had scouts at the Maui Invitational, Assistant General Manager Joe Branch. What a gig. It's a great gig if you can get it. Going to Maui to scout, there were a number of NBA prospects in Maui. So, rightfully so, the Wolves had somebody there. Joe Branch drew that assignment. The Wolves also have scouting representation at the Vegas Invitational. That's Texas Tech, Iowa, some other teams, San Diego State. And they have representation in the Bahamas at Atlantis. You think about Cole Anthony. How great would Cole Anthony of North Carolina look in a Wolves uniform next year? So many good teams. Michigan, North Carolina, Gonzaga. Oregon, Seton Hall, so many good prospects in the Bahamas for that event, the Battle for Atlantis. So the Wolves out and about. It's a busy scouting weekend when it comes to NBA teams watching college prospects. On the Twins, there was an expectation that by Wednesday, they were set to make Zach Wheeler an official offer. We know that they've inquired. You learned about that first here on this podcast, that the Twins were hopping in on Zach Wheeler, but you're not really officially in on a guy until you make a formal offer. Well, that offer as of Wednesday had not come, but it's an expectation of when, not if. Maybe it's even this weekend. Maybe it's Monday. Maybe it's Tuesday. But that the Twins eventually will make Zach Wheeler a formal offer. Now, those in the game, and Dan Hayes tweeted about this at The Athletic, he's spot on. There's an expectation that the price keeps going up, up, and up. A couple weeks ago, I'd heard that 5 years at the qualifying offer, 5 years, $89, $90 million, could have gotten Wheeler done. There's now an expectation from a lot of people in the game that it'll be closer to 5 years, $100 million to $105 million for Zach Wheeler. The White Sox want him badly. Others do as well. Also, speaking of expectations across the game, I've talked to a few people that expect the Twins to land one of these. these guys. If not Wheeler, Madison Bumgarner, or Ryu had the great run with the Dodgers, who the Dodgers had some interest in bringing back. The Twins have talked to Scott Boros, Ryu's agent. Also, the Twins did inquire on Drew Pomerantz, who ended up getting good money from the Padres. The Twins never made him a formal offer, but they did inquire about Pomerantz. They're in on some third baseman. They continue to inquire about Josh Donaldson and Todd Frazier, among others. I am sure there are other names. Those are just the ones that I have heard. But keep an eye on the Zach Wheeler sweepstakes. I think things will pick up next week, especially when it comes to the Twins. One other Twins note, their toughest decision, Monday night is the deadline to tender arbitration-eligible guys' contracts. The toughest decision the Twins have is in regards to C.J. Cron. He is due almost $8 million through arbitration. The buzz is the Twins, well, there's some trepidation in paying him that much money. I think there is some interest in bringing him back. My understanding is talks are ongoing throughout the weekend and right up until the deadline. I'm not quite sure we'll know anything until Monday, right around the deadline, whether the Twins tender C.J. Cron a contract. But clearly, when they're talking to the agents for Josh Donaldson, Todd Frazier, other free agent third baseman, I'm sure some teams about third baseman, I think there is some internal dialogue, in fact, I'm positive, about moving Miguel Sano to first base, freeing up third base. So if you move Miguel Sano to first base, you would not tender C.J. Cron. I just think $8 million is a big number for the Twins to pay him. I do think, though, bringing him back, especially at a lower number, is one of many options, again, that they are kicking around internally. All right, when we come back here in the Scoop Podcast, we'll catch up with former Gophers quarterback Mitch Leidner. Stay with us. We are back. It is Scoop Podcast episode 269 here on Score North on 1500, scorenorth.com online. Hopefully you have the Score North mobile app. Let's waste no time. Let's now get to my conversation earlier this week with Mitch Leidner, former Gophers quarterback, started a lot of games, 2014, 2015, 2016. As far as I can remember, in terms of collegiate athletes, Rashawn Leonard was scrutinized his senior year way back, when was that? Like early 90s, Gophers men's basketball. He was scrutinized. But now with social media, I cannot recall a Gophers athlete or any athlete here in town on a collegiate level that has been more scrutinized over the last few decades than Mitch Leidner. I mean, he was as polarizing as it gets. Oftentimes, there were many people just savaging him. But he somehow weathered through that. Mitch is doing well now. I caught up with Mitch in studio earlier this week. Actually had him in for our TV special tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m., Gopher Game Time. So here's my conversation with Mitch Leidner. Hopefully it sounds okay. We did it in the interview room here at Hubbard Broadcasting Studios from a TV standpoint, so we mic'd up both. So in terms of getting the audio to you, I had to have both channels potted up, so there may be a little bit of background noise just in terms of some activity in the background. So hopefully you can make out more so what Mitch has to say, but also my questions. Here is my conversation with Mitch Leidner. Quickly, I should note that he also started games in 2013, so he redshirted 2012, started a few games 2013, then became the full-time quarterback 2014, 2015, and 2016. Here is Mitch Leidner.
Think about it. 5 years ago, November 2014, same situation. Gophers, Badgers, you're the quarterback of the Gophers. If you guys had won that game in Madison, you guys would have won the Big Ten West, right? I mean, that's what's on the line this Saturday, right? More than anything, Big Ten West Championship. Now people are talking Rose Bowl and everything else, but first things first, you need to win the Big Ten West. That's the number one thing on the line this Saturday, the Big Ten West Championship. What do you recall about that game 5 years ago and just the preparation during the week?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot on the line for that game. One, especially at the time with how long it had been since winning the Axe. You want to accomplish that goal. You want to make it to a Big Ten championship. I remember, I think winning the Axe was the number one thought in our minds at the time. It really wasn't the Big Ten championship. We knew that was going to be a byproduct of winning the Axe. I would have to assume that they're kind of going in with the same mindset this week as, you know, protect your house, get the Axe back, and then the rest of it will take care of itself.
What's this rivalry like? I mean, it's been a long time since the Gophers have beaten the Badgers here in the Twin Cities. I mean, we need to go back to, I think it's 01, or was it 03? 01 or 03? I think 03.
Yeah,
I mean, right. That 03 team was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That Mason team that won 10 games. But
yep.
It's been a long time. I mean, you win last year in Madison, that's great. But I'm just saying, it's been a really long time, you know, since your alma mater, my alma mater, has found a way to beat Wisconsin here in Minneapolis.
Yeah, no question. And I know the atmosphere is just going to be electric this weekend. And For them to get that win at home, it would just be, it'd be so cool. It'd be so cool for all the fans in Minnesota to be able to, you know, even if you're not at the game, to come drive into town and just be there for the team. Because I'm sure they did something like that last year. I remember when we won the jug, we had a bunch of fans waiting at the complex for us. It's a really cool deal, and it's fun to be able to celebrate with the people and have them down on the field as well and be able to interact with everyone, because it really is a, it's really a whole state effort. I mean, you know how much everybody cares, and everyone's really been pulling for those guys out there this year, and they've been doing a great job. So yeah, hopefully we can get the job done for sure.
A little bit more on the 14 game before we get to the 19 team. You guys were up 17-3. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I can remember. I think a couple of those games being up at halftime, and it's pretty devastating to look back and think about, because I don't know. I take a lot of the blame in the second half of those games, but at the same time, it's like, it's not for lack of effort.
Sure.
You know, those guys, Wisconsin knows how to turn it up in the second half. Even the last time we played them, I remember TJ Watt just turning into a completely different person the second half, and was all over me. And I mean, it's a tough team. It's always going to be a tough competitive game. I mean, no matter where you're at halftime, first quarter, second quarter, that's a complete four-quarter game. You can never get complacent in that one. Always got to have your foot on the throttle.
I mean, heck, it also helps to have a guy like Melvin Gordon thinking about the 14 game. I mean, you guys are up 17-3, then he goes nuts. Next thing you know, it's a relatively close game at the half. They take the lead second half, I think, more so third quarter. You actually scored a late touchdown to cut it to a three-point game, and then they scored another touchdown, ended up winning 34-24.
Yeah, okay, now you brought back a couple memories.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, that was the idea. Yeah.
So what I remember is Tommy Olsen getting that hands-to-the-face penalty. It must have been, it was early in the game. We were driving. I mean, we were going to go up by, I think, three scores or at that point, and they called this hands-to-the-face penalty, and I know we were all just mind blown by it, really, and it kind of.
He tweeted about it recently. In fact, I'm almost positive. And then David Cobb chimed in on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I don't remember the specific penalty.
Yeah, it was.
But he alluded to it recently on social media.
Yeah. No. Exactly. That was probably one of the most BS calls, especially because we went back and watched it the next day on film, and that was kind of a big momentum changer for us. For some reason, it's just weird how football works like that, but for some reason that sucked a little life out of us, or it opened a window for Wisconsin, and they took full advantage of it at that point.
Were you at the Penn State game a couple weeks ago?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, I thought somebody had told me that they spotted you there. I mean, what was it like being there for that day, that atmosphere, and then seeing the result?
That was super cool. I mean, it's just, it's really been incredible. You got to give a lot of credit to those players, and I played with guys like Rodney and Shannon and Tyler Johnson, and it's really cool to see those guys having success out there, and feels like they've been there for forever, especially Rodney and Shannon.
Rodney has been there forever.
Yeah, exactly, and just to see them just dominating, and every time that Tanner hands the ball off to one of those two, I'm like, yeah, I can just picture myself being in the situation and knowing it's going to take at least like three guys to bring one of those guys down. I mean, they run so hard, and they're just unbelievable backs. But it's, you know, it's cool. I'm really happy for those guys and really everyone on the team. I know the type of work it takes that you got to put in to have a season like they're having right now. So it's pretty cool to see.
I know the idea, for the most part, is you want to leave the program in a better spot than when you got there, right? So in your case, your last year was, what, 16?
Mm-hmm.
So I think about the 2016 recruiting class. I mean, you mentioned, I mean, you were teammates with Tyler Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
2016 recruiting class. Antoine Winfield Jr., 2016 recruiting class. Kamal Martin.
Yeah.
Thomas Barber. Connor Olson. Carter Coughlin.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the guy that led the whole thing. I mean, he's the one who convinced a lot of these guys to join him. Like, do you feel like, I mean, did you see the groundwork being laid that final year, and a lot of stuff we know happened in 16. And ultimately, you guys win the Holiday Bowl. I mean, it was a good year. But did you see, like, in practice and everything with those young guys, those freshmen at the time, that group had a chance to really do something special. And lo and behold, you fast forward four seasons, and here we are. They are doing something special.
Yeah, that was an impressive group of kids. And I wasn't on social media, but I can remember throughout the other guys on the team talking about kind of what Carter had been doing, recruiting some of these guys. And was it the Building an Empire thing? I can't remember exactly, but he was doing some really neat things, something that we look back on and are like, man, I wish we would have done that, which we had a lot of Minnesota guys come in our year. But, yeah, he did a really nice job. And I can remember Antoine Winfield that first summer. We were both recovering from a foot injury, so we were kind of working out together on the side of the actual team. And I can remember just talking with him and thinking like, wow, your dad has raised you very well. He was a true pro's pro. I mean, this kid, I mean, he's one of the most well-spoken guys I've ever talked to. Carries himself just unbelievably. And it's amazing how it's just carried over for the last, 4 years or whatever it's been. He's awesome guy, awesome to watch out there. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a special group of guys, and they've been through the ringer. So it's pretty impressive to see how they've dealt with different forms of adversity. And ultimately, no matter what happens, they've come out on top. They've done things that's never been done before.
What was that like? You know, I guess let's rewind. Almost 3 years ago, December of that year, right? Was it December 15 or 16, the boycott year?
Yep.
You know, what was that, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, like, if I had told you then that just fast forward not that far into the future and game day would be here and the Gophers would be, like, legitimately in the top 10 looking at the national rankings, right? Mm. And there's, like, legit conversation, like, if the Gophers went out, you beat Wisconsin, you beat Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship game, like, are you one of the four playoff teams? And I think, yes, right? I mean, if you beat Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, you should be one of the four playoff teams. Like, mm-hmm. If I told you back when everything was happening and the threat of the boycott, boycotting the Holiday Bowl and all that, if I told you then, I just fast forward just a little bit, and the program would be in this position, I guess, what would you have told me?
I don't know. It would have been hard to believe at that time, but... Again, like going back to some of the players that were in that 2016 recruiting class and, with Rodney and Shannon, I don't know if I'd really be that big of a surprise to me. Just because you could see how hard those guys worked, how talented they were, and what they bring to the table. I don't know. I'm envious of them because it would have been so awesome to even. I think we were ranked like one time against Missouri in that like 25th.
Well,
bowl
you guys.
Game.
I think some people. It's actually weird to me, Mitch. Who knows? Maybe it's just it's heat of the moment. But I do think a lot of Gopher fans, not all, but a lot, forget that the 2014 season was pretty magical, and you guys got to the first New Year's Day bowl game in program history in like 50 years, and you guys lose to Missouri in the Citrus Bowl, but taking the team to a New Year's Day bowl game was like this enormous deal.
Yeah.
At least being in the position to play Wisconsin for the Big Ten West Championship. You don't win, but you were in a position.
Yeah.
Like, I think some people forget how special that 2014 season was.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think even as a player, you kind of forget. I don't know. Your expectations as a player are always so high, and I've never really taken time to like look back and really soak everything in from playing. I just kind of tried to play for as long as I could and then moved on, and so I never really thought about it too much. But it's you think back to beating Nebraska and Michigan, and it's just some really neat things that we did that season, but at the same time, the goal was always much, much, much more than what we accomplished. And where these guys that are playing right now, they can, they're accomplishing everything they want to. One little mishap with Iowa, but, I mean, really, they have the balls in their court at this point. They take care of business on Saturday. And, it's awesome. We can all live vicariously through these guys.
Oh, absolutely. On your situation, I mean, this just hit me. Is it hard to reflect and look back? Because let's be frank, Mitch, you were scrutinized. I mean, honest to God, I mean, I was actually talking to somebody in our sports office a little bit about this. I mean, if you go back to like the early 90s, Vashawn Leonard, former basketball player, who came back for senior year, went pro, came back, the rules were different then.
Yeah.
He was scrutinized because he didn't maybe meet expectations that he had established earlier in his Gophers career. His senior year just didn't live up to the hype, to the billing. You know, but with like Twitter now and social media, like you were scrutinized so much.
Yeah.
Right? Like so many people. You heard some of it, right? You saw some of that. Does that make it harder to reflect on all the good that you did help accomplish, you know, with the Gophers, especially that 2014 run?
Yeah, that's probably has a large thing to do about it. I know it was awesome because I really did have good, great teammates and coaches that kind of, I don't know, always had like my mind taken off of it. And at the time I was playing and I was so engulfed in football that I noticed it, but it didn't really bother me. But I think, you know, after I got done playing, it took me a while to get kind of comfortable back in my own skin again, because I kind of always thought people were judging me a little bit everywhere I went, no matter what I did. Which is kind of sad because, you know, I really need to think, like, I laid everything I had on the line. I mean, that's some mangled toes, mangled wrists, but, you know, I gave it everything I had, but...
That's a good reminder. I mean, you played through some serious stuff.
Yeah.
Let's also keep in mind, how many of those people that ripped you at the time would have loved to have been in your position and they weren't talented enough, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way, and you know what, that they ever could have even sniffed playing high-level Division I college football.
Yeah.
You know, they hide behind some moniker on a keyboard and type whatever the heck they want. Yeah, but I've thought about that you more than anybody.
Yeah.
I don't remember, especially collegially, I don't remember here in town doing this now 23 years. I don't remember in my 23 years anybody ever being scrutinized the way you were.
Yeah, and I remember, like, we were kind of in a unique time because even when I would talk with, like, Adam Weber about this, like, he was like, yeah, you know, Twitter wasn't like when I played like it was, like it is now, you know, so it is a little bit more of a unique situation. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And
did it take you a while to move past that, though?
It did. It did take me a while.
You were saying it took a little while to become comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah,
wondering
exactly.
If people were always judging you, like, now, today,
yeah.
Are you well past all that?
Yeah, I am, for sure. And, I mean, I had so much fun playing and laid it all on the line. And, you know, obviously wanted a lot more and trained and worked my tail off, like, you know, like I was going to be winning Super Bowl, Big Ten championships and Super Bowls. But ultimately, you know, I don't have any problems sleeping at night, to say the least.
That's good.
Yeah.
On Tanner Morgan.
Yeah.
What makes him so good, so special? I mean, he breaks Adam Weber's single season touchdown passes record. You know, breaks that number of 24. He's now at 26. I mean, you know, heck, speaking of, you know, things maybe forgotten, I'm talking about people forgetting the 2014 season. I think people forget that in August, early August, late July, heading into camp in those first 2 days of camp, I think Zach Anixted was the favorite. You know, I do. I mean, I just think the coaching staff,
probably.
My own intel is the way he spins the ball, he throws it with better velocity, throws it further. He's a better athlete than Tanner Morgan. I do. I think even the way Tanner played at the end of last year, I think Zach was the favorite.
Yeah.
I would have made Zach the betting favorite to start that opening game against South Dakota State, but just a couple days into camp, you know, season-ending injury. So Tanner knew for a few weeks he was going to be the starter.
Yep.
But I think that's an interesting and fascinating storyline, that Tanner maybe wasn't their guy in early August, and now, heck yeah, he's their guy because he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. He's unique. He's got something up here that a lot of people don't have. You know, when that game's on the line, you can trust him with the ball in his hands. He's going to make good decisions, and he gives guys a chance, too. I mean, he puts that ball in a good spot for his receivers to make a play on the football. And, yeah, I mean, what more can you really ask for? Very accurate. But, yeah, when I watch him, I think, like, he's got that it factor. There's really no moment too big for him. I mean, he just keeps checking boxes week to week, you know. You know, after the season, who knows what more he'll have left to accomplish. But when you, the more boxes you can check, oh, I've been in this situation before. Oh, I've done this 100 times. Oh, you know, whatever it is. I mean, he's just keep checking those boxes and keep playing week to week. And, yeah, he's been impressive for sure.
I'll give you an interesting storyline. Oh, hey. Gophers in Pasadena would be phenomenal, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if that can't happen or doesn't happen, what about Gophers against Jerry Kill and Virginia Tech in the Orange Bowl?
That'd be something.
Have you thought about that?
I haven't thought
about
that.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
The ACC is weak.
Yeah.
Outside of Clemson. We know Clemson's going to be one of the playoff teams. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think they're stumbling before the semifinals. So, yeah, the Orange Bowl has the ACC tie, and depending on how things shake out, maybe a Big Ten tie. I'm just saying, Gophers against Virginia Tech, Orange Bowl.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
Do you still keep in touch with Coach Kill?
Yeah, I do. actually, when he first signed on with Virginia Tech there a while back, he gave me a phone call. Needed some help on remembering how to protect on a certain play that we ran at Minnesota, and he's a character, man. I actually went down or was in Southern Illinois with him for stayed with him for a few days at one point too last year, and yeah, he's been awesome to me and my family, and so you know that'd be a really neat deal, but who knows.
Who knows? It might be 1 in 100, but, you know, I'm somebody who roots for storylines, right? Like, that would be a really cool storyline. Okay, I get it. Rose Bowl, Pasadena, first time since the 60s. Yeah, okay, that storyline speaks for itself.
Yeah.
But if you can't have that, yeah, Orange Bowl. We were talking a little bit off camera, but a little bit on camera. And just, I mean, Jerry was outspoken on satellite radio. And the stories behind the scenes are out there, what he thinks of Fleck and Fleck staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that interesting from your standpoint? And, you know, like, do you have a relationship with the current staff? And, you know, you go to the games, you're at the Penn State game.
Yeah.
Is that you just showing up as a fan? Or is there an alumni tie? And I guess, I don't know, what's your standing with the current regime?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have Coach Hill's perspective, you know, and it is what it is. And but I don't know. I can't really argue with what PJ is doing. I mean, he's doing some really good things. His assistant coaches are phenomenal. You know, I sat in on one meeting in spring ball a couple years ago with Coach Soraka, and was really impressed by him. Really impressed by Matt Simon as well. Very impressive receivers coach. I mean, he's just good old Farmington boy, about as good as it gets right there. And I go as a fan, but I also go support the guys. It is what it is. I'm from here. I love Minnesota. I'll always support them no matter what. So
I'll leave you after this. So you're working just a regular job here in town, but I mean, concussions got the best of you. I think sometimes people forget that concussions are brain injuries. Like, you had multiple injuries to your brain, so unfortunately the football career got cut short.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I love my job now. Selling steel and actually get to challenge my brain on a daily basis, you know, measuring different things and doing all that sorts of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I really am enjoying life, and you know, it's kind of nice having some Saturdays and Sundays wide open, rather than getting the crap kicked out of you. But, you know, at the same time, you definitely miss all the team camaraderie, and you'll just never be able to replace that. That's probably what I miss the most, is just being around the guys, and I always thrived in those settings. So,
and you get to say you wore an NFL jersey. I mean, the hometown Vikings.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say you played in the NFL. I mean, nobody can ever take that away from you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, going out the way it was playing at US Bank for the second half of that game, it was an awesome experience. And the home crowd was good to me. They, for some reason, gave me a standing ovation at halftime. It was really cool. And talk about going out on a high note for sure. So,
and then the last concussion then came.
Yeah, it was that following spring. I bounced around all over the place. I was in Jacksonville, New England, Detroit. I mean, I was at a bunch of teams over the course of the next few months. And then went and played in a developmental, like, spring league. Deal like Johnny Manziel was in a couple
years
ago.
That's right, the Manziel League, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
And you took a hit in that league, and that's when...
exactly, and then that's when came back here and did a bunch of rehab for a couple months, and by the time it came back around, some vision issues and whatnot, by the time it came back, I was like, I don't know if it's worth it anymore, so...
Former Gophers quarterback Mitch Leidner. Reese Davis announced earlier today he had a media availability over on campus that Eric Decker, former Gophers receiver Eric Decker of Cory High School. Eric Decker will be the celebrity picker on game day tomorrow morning. Also, one basketball recruiting note, Kerwin Walton spotted at Williams Arena on Friday afternoon, the game against DePaul. Ryan Saunders of the Wolves also there, but Kerwin Walton of Hopkins is still pretty open. He's got a bunch of offers, top 50, top 60 player in the country in the class of 2020. The Gophers would love to get him, so he's still pretty open, so encouraging, you know, that he was on campus. I don't know if I would make the Gophers the betting favorite when it comes to Walton, but still encouraging nonetheless that he was a guest of the Gophers at Friday afternoon's game. All right, we are done. That does it for Scoop Podcast episode 269. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Have a wonderful weekend.